perfect. I've been quite begrudgingly, slowly getting involved. Colin asked, please, would you get involved in leadership a little bit? I just want to say that it wasn't my idea, it was his idea. And I said, no, I don't want to. You'd have to be responsible. I am much more happy being irresponsible and, not having to do things, not mustage and ortery. I want to do the things that God has called me to do, not feel that because I've got a label. So here's lesson number one. Don't get stuck with a label, but respond to God. Keep the joy in life when I lay all these things on you that you could be doing, okay? Sweet word to learn is nope. Honestly, because Anne is one of my gauges. She watches me and she says, if the joy goes out, I'm cutting some of your jobs. She didn't say it quite like that, but it's true. It's the joy of the Lord that is our strength. So don't, whatever we do and in whatever way we're finding to serve, please do it out of joy and find God's delight in what you do, because we'll all be blessed that way. If you get into the drudge, we'll all be miserable. Are you with me? So I'm still, even though, I picked up one or two kind of labels along the way, I'm still feeling irresponsible and eager just to do what delights God and where I find joy and delight as well. Okay. So the message out of that is don't wait for titles and invitations. Do whatever you can and get involved. Don't be sitting back and saying, that's not how I want it. There's something you can do about it. Now, I want to give an illustration of involvement, and then we're going to get right into the talk proper. This is literally an illustration. Last couple of Sundays, there have been wonderful prophetic words shared, and I have been trying to be careful to track them, take note, and I want to make sure we put that on the web, hopefully over the next week. We were discussing that a couple of days ago, and so that you can go back and review. Sometimes these words come, oh, so good, great, and I go out, what's for lunch, and it's all gone. And it's good to come back and get a second dose and review. And so the number of people coming sharing prophetic, song, scripture readings, encouragement, insights, and to me, they are woven together, just like this morning, so beautifully, into a coherent message that is coming from heaven to earth. And so there's a young man who sits among us who loves to doodle. I wonder if you know who I mean. He's always got a wee sketch pad in his hand. And whilst we're all like this, he's like this. And he's drawing things. He just, that's how he works. He draws things. And so two weeks ago, he was doodling whilst we were worshiping and whilst these things were being shared. And he just was putting the finishing touches to his doodle. Shall we go to the doodle? There it is. Interesting doodle, isn't it? As Anne came up and read this scripture from Psalm 84, verses 5 to 7, it says this, blessed, well, wait a minute, what do we see there? We see, this is what I see, a whole load of people purposefully moving in a direction. We see a valley that they are moving through, and I see a hill at the other end with a little bit of cloud over it that they are moving towards, and some of them going up that hill. And then there's a little swirl just at the forefront here of something. Okay? Thank you, Patrick. Where is he? He's actually stewarding, so we can talk about him quietly. Another great example, you see? Even a doodler can go and steward. So what is it that you are that you could do something else as well? Here we go. That's what he was, he'd almost finished that. Okay, this didn't come out of what he heard. This is what he had drawn as the worship was proceeding. And Anne got up and read this. She didn't know what he'd been drawing. She said, she read from Psalm 84, blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, that means tears or weeping or mourning, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Now, I'm going to ask you, isn't that awesome? I think it is. I think that's truly awesome. There's a prophetic gift of doodling. And it's not in 1 Corinthians. So whatever you hear, we need this, we need that, we need people to do this. And some of you are going to say, that's for me. I want to be a child children's worker. That's what God's put in my heart, and I know I could do that. For others of you saying, none of those things are quite my, what God is stirring in me. But we want to know, what is it that God is stirring in you? Come and bring it. And I'm so thrilled. I would love to see more of that. Genuinely, I would. Look at that up there. Prophetic art. And we are such visual people. You know, we learn, we remember so much more what we see than what we hear. And so I want to stir up the doodles and every other equivalent in among you this morning. Amen? God has got us on a journey. This is one of some of the words that have been shared. A journey. And we're heading towards something God is calling us towards. He's saying, be serious. Don't, if you take me seriously, I will be serious with you. I'm repairing you, not just to have you repaired, but to prepare you for the call of God, my call upon your life. And so face that which I am calling you and embrace it. Here we go. CCE people, you are going to find this quite interesting. This is a few interesting statistics. I like gathering facts and figures, particularly about you guys. And one or two of you know, I'm looking at Liz right now. Every now and again, I get on a roll and I email Liz a few times to say, what about this, and is this, and who's that, and what's happening? I'm just interested to see and to test and taste what God's doing. So here's a few interesting statistics for some of you who may not have known. It can be hard in a crowd of 200 or so to get to know people, so let's take a closer look. There are 250 to 300 people connected in some way to CCE, 270 at my last count, 210 adults and 60 children and youth. A Sunday typically has 150 up to 200 people during term time, slightly less than that when all the students go away. And this is our age range. You will see straight away, the perceptive of you, that there are a lot of young people. Now, I've slightly skewed that because you'll see that the last two are 20-year periods, and the rest of it is a 30-year period. So if you squash together 11 to 17, 17 to 25, and 25 to 30, and add those all together and compare them to 30 to 50, you'll see that there are a lot of them. Us. A lot of young people, especially in the 17 to 25 age range. 22% of our congregation, of our community, are children and youth. 22% are students here, come to Edinburgh to study and engaged in full-time study. That's a lot, isn't it? That's 44% already. And then, as I said, many who stay on after their studies. There are very few over 50, which is unusual. So that makes Colin unusual, which we know. Oh, James and Inca came just to have mercy on us. Very few over 50, and there are none over 70. Now, that is very unusual for a church community in the Western world. Just be aware of that, that we are a young community. Okay, what about male-female? Well, there are 45% male to 55% female, so the girls are winning. Hooray! But let me tell you, walk into any other church in this land and the girls are way ahead. It might be 80%. I don't know. In fact, many other countries in the world, the churches are filled with women, and the men are less obvious very often. And so I think that's a very good balance. I'm personally quite thrilled that there are at least 45% non-female in this community. I'm very thrilled about the 55% as well. Actually, since that was made, we're up to 46 guys, so keep going. Single and married. There are 55% single to 45% married among the adults. We won't interview the youngsters on that. But again, I think it's a nice balance. It's a good thing that we've got lots of family people. And you know, I'm sure as we go up the ages, we find that the number of married increase, obviously. But it's great to have lots of single folk as well in the church. I'm happy and enjoy that. So what am I saying here? Yeah, about 20% of the community have been around for over 10 years, been part of this community for over 10 years. And there are a few who have been part of this church for over... Anything honest, just come back again. If it goes off again, I'll get the handheld, okay? Good. Are you enjoying these stats?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. So 20% have been here over 10 years, but listen to this. 30%, that's over 80 of us in this community, have arrived in the last 12 months. Think about that. That makes us quite a fresh, young community, and it means that I'm speaking to quite a few who weren't here last year. Certainly weren't here 2 or 3 years ago. And that number includes 9 new babies over the last 12 months. Woo! That's real growth. Now, the interesting thing is that a similar number have moved on, because we've not grown in number overall. In fact, we're very comfortable at the number we are somehow. And so no matter how many new people come in, we just seem to stay roughly the same. Well, that's okay, as long as we're investing and planting out and sending out all of these great people to other things. Obviously, if you're a student, you come to study for a while, and then you go on mostly to other things. And so we're seeing many going on. And we are so excited to send out... I feel very excited about this. I don't want to hold you all in here. This is just a box. I want to send you out into all the world. Now, I'm going to show you a map, because I like maps, and you're going to enjoy this one, okay? Make your mind up. Just tell yourself, tell your neighbor, I am going to enjoy this. Moving on. Who is where in CCE? Now, you may be surprised, but I'm going to put up a world map, and this is going to show a peg. Oh, it's gone up. Okay. There's a peg on there for every place that one of us has come from or has a very direct link to. Now, look at it and stand in awe. Isn't that amazing? There's over 50 pegs there, representing around about 35 countries. And these are places that people have come from, are going to, and have direct links and influence with. Together, those 35 nations represent over 60% of the world population, over 4 billion. You say, oh, yeah, okay, so Nara and Veni, they went off to Hyderabad and came back. There's 1.4 million billion people in India, almost 20% of the world population. They only went and saw a few people. But it's not that. It's that the fact that Nara and Veni are here give us a nation to touch. Do you understand? God is sending people to our door. You might say, I can't travel all over the world. That's not true for most of you. I know you students. You go all over the place. But you may say, yeah, I can't. I haven't got enough money. I haven't got the resources. I haven't got time. I can't go and make disciples of all nations. Do you know, Jesus never traveled 200 miles from where he was born. But he lived in a place called Nazareth, which was called Galilee of the Gentiles. And just looking down from where he was, he could see the thoroughfare of nations, peoples coming from Africa into Europe and from Asia into Arabia. And the nations were passing by his door. You know, he is sending to us the nations to our doorstep. And this is really serious, we bet, okay? There's a song by Keith Green. He It says, and he brings people to your door, but you turn them away as you smile and say, God bless you, be at peace. And all heaven just weeps. I just want to encourage us to be aware of what God is sending to us, because it's for a time. One of the things that has really pained me, and we just got to let this go, and I know maybe others of you picked it up, but we had two young families with us up until just recently from China. China with a quarter of the world's population in it, from Beijing, around there. They were with us. You know, Andrew had been to Australia in the past, and he'd gone to a church, so he'd visited a church. And when he went back to China, he said, when we go to Scotland, I'm going to take you, my beloved Cherry, to a church. And they came to Edinburgh, and he brought her here. She walked in. It was utterly foreign and new, and she loved it. She couldn't wait to get here, and you could see on her face she really enjoyed being among us. Didn't have a clue about what we believed and all those things, and yet she got to taste and see a little bit of Jesus through us. And now they've gone back to China, and I don't know what investment, what it is that they've taken, what seeds they've taken with them, but we get an opportunity to touch God's world that he loves, that he came for, and that his father said to him in Psalm 2, ask of me and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. And in Acts 1, chapter 8, this is a verse that's really a life for Brian and Marion as they start a new group. It says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I'm looking at Becky there. She comes from Thompson, Canada. It is so cold there. Only Becky and penguins live there. And Jesus. And her mom and dad, and her family, and her community. There's Narissa here from Bangkok, Thailand. And we get a chance just to reach out and touch that nation for a while. She may not be here forever. And we need to make the most of that and use it as an urging and a go to pray. We can, through these folk, we can pray for the nations, and that's what we should do. And we can think about how we can invest in God's world. We just sang earlier on, let the heavens rejoice. Okay, we're good with that. Way up there. Let the nations be glad. Let the whole earth tremble. For he is God. And he loves the nations, and he's sending them to our door. Okay, who's who? For newcomers, some faces you may see up front, and you may want to track down. Just to give you a slight backtrack of history. Up until a couple of years ago, we had elders. Here are three handsome elders, Colin, Rupert, and Dave. Dave was here last week with us doing an announcement and was coordinating the Kaylee last night. But Dave has gone on since that time to other things. God's called him and Maggie and a bunch of others to begin a new community over on the east side of town in the Wellsprings. And it's been great to see them getting established. But it does mean that Colin and Rupert, together with Anne and the other Colin, forming the leadership team, were feeling the draft and feeling very much like everything was coming back onto their shoulders. I don't know if you've observed, but the way that this community works, there are little circles of things going on. There's children's work, there's the worship work, there's the finances, administration, there's students, youth. There are lots of circles, and by and large they take care of themselves, but somebody has to be the fallback guy, and the buck stops somewhere. And Colin in particular, Rupert's kind of related to Superman, so he probably didn't notice it so much, but I am
sure that's true.
Rupert does a monstrous amount of work. So does Colin. I am Moving quickly on. But, you know, it can get wearing when everything is coming back to your door. And you think, I don't need to do that. I can't focus on everything. And so I personally was sympathetic when Colin and Rupert called together a group called the Transition Group and said, would you guys, you're all kind of involved in some area of the church one way or another, would you just come and sit with us for a few months and we'll chat about, you know, how we could take this forward, how we could expand the responsibilities so that there's more shoulders to carry the load. And so from January to September last year, it was a bunch of 12, met together about once a month, and we talked and we prayed and we talked some more, and probably didn't come to lots of great conclusions, but we did enjoy being together. And towards the end of it, Colin coined a phrase, a community of leaders. It's not the community of leaders, it's a community of leaders. There are many leaders in this church leading in many different ways. But he said, I wonder whether this group that we have together looking at transitioning could actually become a hub, a focus of responsibilities in the church, become a community of people who lead in different ways, but very diverse, not all in the same mold by any means at all. Different strengths, different abilities, different callings, and different passions, both men and women. What are you all laughing at? Oh, yeah. There's that handsome bunch there. There they are. Okay? And so our current position, our current modus operandum is that this bunch is functioning as the community of leaders and trying to give some sort of definition, meaning, and oversight to the different things that go on. It doesn't mean that everything has to go through this. It just means we're trying to keep a track of what's happening, bless it, resource it, and help it to work as best it can. So one of our number had to step down because of, you know, personal demands upon his life. That was Ian, and we wish he hadn't because we love him. There he is, and he's a good man, and he's still here with us. But he's not part of this group so that he has time for other things. But I just want to introduce you to the rest of them very quickly. This is Colin. Bum, ba-da, ba-da, bum, ba-da. Colin is our papa. He's our daddy. He gets to take the blame for everything. He represents us. One of the great things that Colin does is to represent us to the wider world. He is the face of CCE, kind of like the Queen for Britain. And he sits on a council of network of Scottish churches. He sits on the council of Newington churches. He sits on the council of Newington local community. You know, you get the idea. He's out there. He's opening. I was going to say crematoriums, graveyards, cemeteries, and just doing any number of things. You know, when it comes to, well, who will stand up and speak for this community, Colin will stand up and speak. Mostly, very often, it's Colin that will do that. And in addition, he has this voracious appetite for study, for learning, for languages. He speaks 12 languages pretty fluently. I can confirm that because I can speak at least that many, and I've heard him. And I've traveled with him. And, you know, I sit there. I know how to sit and smile and have no clue what's going on whilst Colin rabbits away to everybody. He has monumental giftedness. Just here's something you didn't know, but he can write sonnets just like Shakespeare. I bet you didn't know that. They're not really popular these days, so nobody buys them. But if you ask Colin to, if you're getting married, ask Colin to write you a sonnet. He is tremendously gifted with words and with the scriptures, obviously very familiar with Greek and Hebrew. And we often run to him and say, Colin, what does this mean? How does this work? And so he's providing teaching, scriptural insight, oversight, and a great heart for mission. Okay, that's enough about Colin. Let's move on to Rupert. Rupert, ably supported by his wife Pippa, who's pretty full time with some young people in their household, and doing an amazing thing just by releasing Rupert and letting him go, because he can go. And I seriously am staggered at the amount of stuff that Rupert manages to do with that joy. He keeps the joy, mostly. Isn't that right, Rupert?
Mostly.
There are days. But he has a great capacity to get involved in a whole lot of things. In particular, he has a real passion for spiritual growth, for seeing transformation in people's lives, not content that you would be the same this year and again next year, but that there would be a yearning to see transformation, especially among the younger people. As you see Rupert meeting up with, moving among some of the younger people, mentoring, counseling, chatting things over. He does a fabulous job, brings a lot of teaching that we know, handles some very tricky subjects of late in a way that we've all appreciated very much, and gives a great deal of oversight to a lot of things. Okay, that's Rupert. Anne is Colin's wife and has been part of the leadership team for some time, and goes way back into her short history with the church, because she, with her mum and dad, came and kicked things off a long time ago. Okay, Anne has a passion for counseling. She has a passion for what makes somebody tick on the inside. And she really, given the opportunity, she would love to heal you, mend you, and make you whole. And so she has helped to set up and involved in Hope Counseling, really carries that as a passion and a desire to talk things through with people and help them to come to wholeness. She's also very insightful, and I often check back with Anne to see, well, how do you think things are, and what do you see? And often very helpful indeed. I wrote to her this week just saying, help, I need a bit of practical wisdom, and she wrote back with some very good practical wisdom, and it was sorted. So thank you, Anne. Anne also coordinates pastoral care in the church, and that's something that we're working on and developing, and probably come back to you more in the future. Moving on to John. John's getting married in the morning. Woohoo! John is awesome. Every time I write to him, you know, I write him loads. I write loads of emails because he's in the office. He runs the office and he does all the administrative stuff. So if you ever need anything, I mean, we were literally having a snowball fight this week. It wasn't literally. It was metaphorically a snowball fight. I just kept sending him emails like, can you do this? What about that? This and the other. And he just comes back with, he's done it. He does it. He sorts it. And he has a phenomenal capacity to just be given stuff to do and quietly get on with it. He's a bit like the Holy Spirit, just quietly hovers and make things happen without drawing a lot of attention to himself. He's responsible for the running of the building, for admin support, for the newsletter, for contacts, for reception, for resourcing, for enabling and facilitating the work of others. And that's what he really does fabulously well. You know, Elijah had Elisha, and Moses had, who did he have? Joshua, I know that. These are the deacons in the Bible, by the way. If you thought deacon meant that you have to, you know, be on the building committee, it's not. You're in training for, you pour water on the hands of God's people so that in your time, in God's time, there'll be a place for you as well. And I just see John doing that so beautifully, and willing to help others to facilitate their work. So that's John. If you need to know anything, ask John. Andrew and Kirsty, a couple married with children, and bring a tremendous amount among us. Andrew does the finances. He oversees the finances together with Lo's help. And he's a bit of a seer and a mystic, actually. Sometimes I'm not quite sure what he means, but he's way up there. And we try and hang on and get up there with him. But when it comes to finances, there's nothing mystical about Andrew. And I had to send a set of finances to him recently, and he went over them, he audited them, and he immediately came back with a whole set of things that just needed a little adjustment. What an eye for detail, and it's very, very godly. and appreciated. That's Andrew. Kirsty is overseeing our children's work, and she's also involved in pastoral care and work. And together, they are involved in something called the Coracle Trust, which is helping people in transition stages of life, transition stages of faith. And I'm not going to say any more about that. Neil has been a traveler in his time. He's gone all over the world, to Africa, to China. He's come back on mission to Edinburgh, start up the Money Clinic. He's an engineer at heart. He loves to know how to make things work. If you want to know how to get from here to Timbuktu by train the cheapest possible way, ask Neil and he'll go away and figure it out. Tremendous ability to analyze and to get things working. Then there's Chris. Involved in worship, involved in welcome with new people, and involved in pastoral. And I could say so much more about him, but I won't. Then there's Liz.
What about your wife?
Yeah, what about my wife? And my wife, well, she was there a minute ago, wasn't she? This is the beautiful Anne, who is a full-time teacher and releases me to go and do crazy things. Now, that takes a lot. And she often comes with me to do crazy things as well. We travel quite a bit now, increasingly. She's gone from 5 to 4 days a week teaching so that we have more time to do some of those things together. That's the lovely Anne. Okay, I'm realizing I'm way out of my time again, so... Elizabeth, you know how amazing Liz is. She comes, she bounces up here, she's full of energy, she's full of inspiring and setting us on a positive track, and she's done a great job among the students. You're over there, Liz. Let me look at you while I'm talking at you. I so admire what is happening among the students, which is, you know, a lot of that goes down to Liz and her heart and who she is. There's a great deal of buzz and great things going on among the students. She's also got a real heart for prayer and for people, not seeing any left out, but that all would be included. And I love that and appreciate that too. Colin, our other Colin, is a man of business. He's got his heart in making godly business, bringing God into the business world. And, you know, if you thought God starts and finishes in this box, let's get that sorted out. God is in the business world. I work for a West Lothian council, and I know he's in the council world. I find him there every day. And he's in the business world of entrepreneurs and inventors and bringing new ideas, new things. And Colin is really buzzed by that. He's also buzzed by community and has actually, together with Kathy, worked that out practically. Malcolm and Lucy moved in with them and just working out what it is community and built a community around themselves, which we call Echo, and that's something they give a great deal of their time and their love into. And then finally, Ashley. Ashley is our management supremo. She has worked and advised the National Health, that's why it's in such good shape, and the Royal Bank of Scotland. No, actually came to the Royal Bank of Scotland when they were on their knees. And she's lifting them back up and helping them. And in her spare time, she's helping us when we're on our knees to facilitate and work. You know, she's the one when we get together who says, yes, so how do we work this out? Where do we go from here? What's the practical outworkings? And she's so helpful. She's been so helpful in facilitating and coordinating much of our gathering together. She's got a prophetic heart. She chairs our gatherings, and she's a great buzz person to be around. Well, most Irish people are. Okay. It was Jean-Paul Sartre who gave us that great thought, to be is to do. And Immanuel Kant, who honed and developed that by saying to do is to be, but it was Frank Sinatra who gave us a mortal phrase, do be, do be, do. And we want to be both being and doing. We want you to be part of this community, to feel I am a part of this community. I buy in. I own. I take part ownership. I'm buying shares. And just to be friended, to be long. That's what happens when you're in a place a long time. You be long. To be a part, not to be a part, but to be a part of the church, to be with us, together with us. As Rupert said, come with us and we will do you good. God will do us good as we travel together. So there's a great way to get more integrated is the small groups that happen in the church. There are currently 12 cells, including the student ones. There's another three or four or five along the way at the moment. Over half, 6% of the adults are involved in a cell, mostly younger ones. 75% of the under 30s are involved, and only 48% of the older ones. So there's less older ones, more younger ones. With the new groups that are beginning up, we're hoping that there will be up to 70% of us involved in small groups. It's not that everyone has to be in a small group. You don't have to be. But, Donald, isn't it true? Small groups are the business. They rock. They're so good. People love you. People feed you. People talk to you and know you. And you are known and know others. And that's what it's all about. And so if there's any way possible, please do find a way of getting involved somehow in a small group. That would be a great thing. So working at the Generations, this is what's on offer. 3 student cells. We'll come to them in a minute. Token picture of Ruth there. There are currently 3, another couple possibly in process. Drew's group is not Drew's group, it's Drew's and Flicks and Camilla's and Hannah's group, and they're not leaders, they're facilitators. But apart from that, they do a great job at leading these groups. And it's mostly they're sort of just beyond students and young, mature, godly people. And sometimes it's a large group, sometimes it's smaller groups. And that's Drew's group. Really has been inspiring to us, and we're going to try and copy what they do. Donald and Ashley's group is where it's a heart group. Everybody is welcome. There's food there. Woo! I've noticed that just no matter how strange you are, you find a place there, and you are loved. So if you're feeling like you're an alien, then Donald and Ashley's group's the place to go. There's discussion, there's prayer, and there's the occasional trip to Alton Towers. Then there's Echo, which I mentioned before. Colin and Kath, together with Malcolm and Lucy, Joy and Rupert. I've been working on that for quite a while, and it's a maturing community there in Echo. Roy and Hannah lead a group that meets Tuesdays 3 times a month. Particularly have a heart and a focus for those who are working overseas and are very supportive, as well as those who are down and out. You watch Hannah, she is helping those who have just had a baby and don't need to cook for a week. She's the one who organizes all those things. So if you're good at cooking, go and see Hannah and make some food for the new mums. But they lead a cell group, small group with food and Bible and prayer. There's a common theme here, isn't there? Food. Then there's Nick's group, meets on a Wednesday in various locations. Last time I tried to find them, they were meeting in a jazz club, and I didn't make it. There's another group. I just watched them recently gathering in somebody else and making them a place, making them feel at home, and it's a beautiful thing to see. Then there's a ladies' group that meets fortnightly on a Thursday. Also, other things are not technically cells or small groups, but other great ways of connecting with people. There's a five-a-side football bunch that meets Mondays 8 o'clock at Site Hill. Barry Walker organizes that. 3 pitches, about 30 people involved, and often a wee trip to the pub afterwards. There's the hill walking trip. Yesterday, the hill walkers were up Ben Achaladair and Ben Acrechachach. It's not good to join this club if you've got false teeth. But anybody can go, and if you're interested in going up climbing Munro's, then get in touch with Derek. He'll add you to his email list, and it's awesome. It's just a great way of spending a Saturday. Start early, get back early evening, and have some great fun. There's a Sojourners group that meets over seasons at a time. Often, up to now, they've been shaped by a book that they read together, but they take a season at a time. That's going to have a relaunch shortly, which we'll hear about in due course. Students do lots of things. These are the student leaders. They have student gatherings. They have student lunches. Ruth's organizing that today. They have a weekend away last November in Moffat. There was 50 of them. Student Alpha during the autumn time. There's also prayer walking, mentoring, mission, community action, study space, all kinds of things. And three cells. These are the three cells? No, they're not. What happened to my great presentation? It's frozen. Just imagine that there are pictures of some nice students up there and three cells among the students. Okay, that is small groups. Getting involved, being and doing. It says in Ephesians, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." We'd love to see many being involved by connecting relationally in small groups, and also practically by finding a way to serve and to contribute. There are three kinds of people in the world, and in the church in particular, those who make things happen, those who help things happen, and those who wonder what happened. So I want to encourage you to move from the wondering what happened to the helping things happen, to making things happen. You have got to be one of those, and we want to become those who are helping to be part of the answer, not part of the question. The church has also been likened to a football match, 22 men desperately in need of a rest, watched by 22,000 desperate in need of exercise. But that's not true here, because as so many of us are already involved in different ways. Just example this morning, those who are actually designated to serve in particular ways this morning, never mind those who spontaneously just are reaching out in different ways, there were over 30 people this morning functioning in different ways, in a designated way. That's a lot, just to make a morning like this happen. So the good news is that over half the adults are involved in serving in some sort of way, and the older plus 30s win out over the younger ones here. Okay, so we got our own back. But the other side of it is that we have a potential of about 90 people. That's about 40% of the adults who are not directly involved in something. I'm sure indirectly involved in lots of ways, but an unemployment rate of 40% is, we can improve on that. And remember what I said at the beginning, I don't want you just signing up for stuff. I want you to find what God has called you to and find a way of doing that. Now, for many of us, that could be outside of these walls and outside of this community. It may be your business life, maybe your work life, maybe your family life, maybe life at home, or all kinds of places. But if we're part of a family, then we do the dishes sometimes. That's what I tell my kids. And they do. In fact, Lisa's gone overboard. She just does all the cooking now. And that's cool. I think that's great. And so we are a family, and we want to welcome you into the family to take our part, each of us to take our part and to make our contribution. And there are lots of ways that are available that we could get involved, and lots that have never been invented yet. Okay, we didn't have making videos on the list, but it's been done anyway. And so you probably have that one thing that's not on this list, but we do, in the meantime, want... John has made up a nice sheet here. Where is John? John is going to make those available at the end. He'll thrust it into your hand as you leave or something like that. We could do with some more stewards. Stewarding is great fun. You get to meet everybody, shake their hands and smile as they walk through the glass door. For some of you, that is just what God has got for you. And Ben would love to hear from you if you would like to sign up for the stewarding. We could do with another couple. We have a connecting team that makes sure that tries to make sure that people are not overlooked, and that those who are left alone or new would be somehow connected up and welcomed. If you would like to be involved in that, there's a place for you. Children's workers. If you know, there was a prophecy here recently that this next season is a time when new leaders are going to be released. If you feel something of that stirring in you, there's no better place than either old folks' home or the children to start in leading. And there's great opportunities in working with the children, not necessarily just leading, but helping and supporting. There is opportunities there. We need more people to make coffee because we're all drinking it. And so you may like to find a place there in serving with the coffee. There's so many things. In the small groups, there's place for people to ignite and start new groups, to be supportive of new groups, to bring a contribution as you gather together, whether it's musical, culinary, humor, prayer, Bible, wisdom, healing, care, giving, support, any number of ways that we can invest in the people and the situations that we find ourselves in. Beyond our walls, there are mission opportunities with Alpha running the autumn, with street pastors happening with the toy library. Still would be glad of some more support and help there with the Open Glass Doors exhibition, with the Money Clinic. You could train as an advisor with Neil, with the Hope Counseling. There's counseling training. And then foreign trips. Dave has been speaking about a trip to Uganda and to Africa. There are other trips. Colin's organizing one to France. The regular trips to Poland, Slovakia, and other places. Lots of other opportunities. The last word. Is this. And there are so many ways that we could contribute, and we could wear ourselves out, or we could get energy in our tank, and it could increase our joy. And I encourage you to look for the second and not for the first. But above all of that, I want to invite us all afresh to take our place as a part of a family, a part of a community. We sang earlier on that God's love endures forever. And that word, as Colin would tell us, is chesed. It doesn't mean love. It means loyalty to promises. It means covenant relationship. It means that I will stick with you even though I don't like the way you look this morning. It means I will stay with you even if you don't agree with my theology. It means I will walk with you even although we are different. And because we're a family. And that's chesed. And I want to encourage us that we would live that way with one another and treat one another in that way and treat this family in that way. Not something to come and criticize and poke at, but something to dive into and be a part of and make it as good as it can be. All right? God bless you. Let's pray together and then we're done. Lord Jesus, we thank you for continually coming to us. It seems lavish. It seems like we got more than our dose already. And yet you keep coming. You're generous and kind. And we thank you for being among us this morning. We thank you for the stirring of your spirit in our hearts as we ponder you. And Lord, as we see you in one another, I want to say thank you for your spirit, for your salvation, for your going up on the cross, for your rising again. And we want to thank you for your body. We want to thank you for your people, your beloved. Thank you for bringing us for a short time or a long time into this community. And Lord, we have presented ourselves before, and we present ourselves again, that we wouldn't only be here for you, but that we might be here for your beloved. And so we ask you that for each one of us, you would speak to us, inspire us, and teach us what it is that we might do, how we might give of ourselves in friendship, relationship, and practical service. I ask you that in Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if somebody wants to come. Are you going to come and tidy up?
Yeah. Thank you very much. So if you've got any kids to collect, please go up and collect.